I hope things go good for you. It's just, you know, and I understand, well, I understand a little better since I talked to you what your generation is going through.
Thank you. Hello and welcome back to Relevant Tones. I'll be your host today, Austin Williams. We are listening to the music of Angelica Olsted today. I additionally had the pleasure of having a chat with her. This is Angelica's fourth debut album. It's called American, and we just heard a track of it called The Creek. Of course, we talk about the musical interests in the album, but I just want to read a little snippet from the press release we received, actually. Olsted began working on this project in response to the alarming rise in AAPI, Asian American Pacific Islander hate and attacks in recent years. She describes the album as following different chapters in her youth, saying, "I wanted to create a music storytelling experience focused on the upbringing as a mixed-race Chinese-American who grew up in the 90s in Colorado." So, not a very light topic, but that's great. We had a lovely conversation and very candid conversation about what that experience was for her and her reflection on that and what some of these individual tracks on the album meant in relationship to that. We'll get right into the interview in a second. I just wanted to give a quick content warning. We do talk about firearm and firearm violence at some point in the interview, as this is a very topical topic in the United States of America. I understand that if some of you feel uncomfortable or would rather not listen to that. So you'll hear it in the conversation begin. You can skip about probably, 5 or 6 minutes ahead if you do not care to listen to that. So with that being said, let's jump right into the interview.
So I was first really struck by your album based on kind of the whole idea of like, I'm always in both film, music, and other like forms of art, I really like this idea of just like capturing a small moment or like these vignettes as you describe them as in your works. So that was my first initial draw to them. And then I also have been down, ironically enough, down this rabbit hole of like a lot of piano music lately. So kind of fit in that realm. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah.
Cool. Yeah. How long has this project been going on for, or what's kind of the beginning stamp and the end stamp of it?
Yeah. So I, you know, it's funny that you say that. I try to catalog, I guess, record, like timestamp my work, through social media actually. And I think I started writing, early last year in 2022.
Okay.
And, it actually might've been a little earlier. I think I might've written the first song in the fall of 2021.
Sure.
And then it took some time for me to start writing because I was thinking more about the concept.
Yeah.
So I started in 2022. I recorded in summer of 2022. And I actually took some time because I was trying to just figure out like how this piece was going to live in the world, how this piece of work was going to live in the world. And I decided to just kind of go for it and time it with AAPI month.
Sure.
It was in response to the increased anti-Asian attacks that were happening in New York and just in general in the coasts last year. So it's something that I've been exploring more since the pandemic and BLM and just the discourse that's a lot more open now about peace and identity.
Yeah.
So I went for it.
So that was...
Yeah, kind of. I guess that's like, yeah, it's been like about maybe a year and a half since this all began.
Sure. So I think so many things I want to touch on in what you just said. the first thing is you said you wrote an initial work that kind of springboarded the rest of the project. What was that piece or what was that like image you were capturing in that first one?
Yeah. So the first piece I wrote from the album was Radiohead, which was the lead single.
Okay.
And that's the longest one.
Yeah.
So all of the other pieces in the album were, that was kind of like the capstone, actually, of
sure.
the album. Everything else was sort of built around that. And
Was that piece, the title is obviously, is it referencing the band Radiohead or is that just a coincidence?
It is referencing the band Radiohead. Okay. Radiohead is one of my favorite bands, are a huge influence for me.
Sure.
And the process that I usually go into when I start writing music is playing a lot of impressionist music. And also I'll do piano arrangements of Radiohead. I just love Radiohead. And I felt like that piece sounded like maybe something, you know, like a piano arrangement of a Radiohead tune, especially the middle section.
Sure.
So that kind of set the tone for the rest of the album for me. And
I was getting a lot of like Kid A vibes from it.
Yeah. Just like those repetitive single notes, you know, really simple lines.
Yeah. Thank you. No, it's lovely. I listened to your album like front to back, so I was, and I guess I didn't really look at the titles of them until like the song was playing, and then that came up, and I was like, oh, that's I wasn't expecting that. And then I almost wish I hadn't looked at the title, because then I feel like my brain was just like telling me to listen to like for like Radiohead or whatever. But it did. I think it like actually like captured that regardless. So. Good. Great. Yeah. So was this project, so you mentioned that there was a lot of like I guess activism, for lack of better words, that might have been influenced or might have influenced his works. Like, was that something that was that a decision you eventually came to, or was that something that was in the forefront of your mind like as you were writing the first tune or like thereafter?
Yeah, you know, I think it's an interesting question. I'm going to be really honest in my answer. So I actually like to think of my music as a canvas, and the technique specifically with the style and the approach that I take. I like this idea of using music as a conduit for experiences or stories. So I think one could argue that my music is very, I won't say generic, but it's very perhaps typical in the genre of like solo classical minimalist kind of piano music that's in market.
Sure.
But what I'm interested in is how can we use music as a tool to tell stories? Mm-hmm. So the primary goal for me was to create a really good song.
Yeah.
Or a good piece, rather, not technically a song. So,
yeah, you know.
Yeah. So a good tune, we'll just put it that way.
Yeah.
And that was kind of the major focus I had, was, okay, does this piece of music work on its own as a piece of music? Does it make sense structurally? Does it tell a story? Because I really do believe that music, especially instrumental music, which is something I'm passionate about, is kind of sharing more about instrumental music. And I think in this day of age, we're so used to experiencing music with lyrics and with singers, and we've sort of lost the ability and the art of listening to instrumental music.
Yeah.
And I there's so much nuance and color and texture that goes into even just piano music. I'm not saying that there's, I think singer songwriting is a wonderful, beautiful art form. I just think there's so many different beautiful ways to experience all different types of music. So for me, that's my primary goal as a musician, is to create something that's structurally like beautiful, or, you know, full or complete, or, you know, has like a purpose, whether it's like in relation to the next song preceding it or the song after it.
Yeah.
And then it's kind of piecing together the tunes in a way that makes sense harmonically. So like, what tells an overarching arc, you know, of a story, like kind of, you know, back in the day when albums used to be a thing, there's always kind of a story that you want to tell from beginning to end and take your listener on a journey. So that's where I started assigning names to the songs. And I started thinking about different chapters of my childhood that were really pivotal moments for me.
Sure.
Specifically as a musician. And this album is about race. It's about my experience growing up mixed race in Colorado.
Yeah.
But I think there's also a deeper level and layer here that talks about my experience growing up mixed race as a musician in Colorado, where there isn't a lot of opportunity or access to culture and the arts like there is in a bigger city like New York. So, you know, there's very specific meaning behind the title of each tune, which very closely relates to different parts of my life. And then it ends at Bedford Stop, which is where I've been living off of in Brooklyn for the past 12 years. So it's kind of like the journey as my musician and through my childhood leading up to, you know, the adult that I am now and the adult experience that I've had in New York since moving here.
Sure. I really enjoy your passion for storytelling, and I think that the point is, like, for a good story is, like, you have to make it accessible, right? Or, like, relatable. And you're right. A lot of times it's, like, through words or through imagery. But to be able to do it through just sound or, like, through instrumental music, I think takes a very specific, like, frame of reference or, like, mindset to do so.
I've been sort of so this is my fourth studio project. It's my third solo studio project. And I've been really interested in the idea of telling stories through piano music for quite some time. It was like one of the pillars of how I started developing my practice, like deconstructing piano pieces from classical repertoire, mm-hmm. pairing it with analog synths to give it kind of a modern sound, which is also kind of a play on chamber music or even, like, you know, concerto a little bit, you know, like a featured solo instrument being supported by a wash of sound.
Sure.
And then I toned it down actually for this project, but in past projects, I've used field recordings within the piece to create, you know, a sense of place. But for this project, I wanted to use it as interstitials to transport you to the next song. And there is a little bit of audio. So the first piece features myself as an 8-year-old kid announcing a song that I had to record for an audition for a scholarship or something that I was doing at that age. Mm-hmm. I used to compete when I was younger. Mm-hmm. And then my dad, from a conversation we had maybe a couple years back, and then a recording that my mom sent through for another art project I did in 2019,
sure,
where she recorded a Psalms verse in Chinese. So
yeah. Yeah.
I thought that was a pretty accurate, interesting representation of kind of capturing, like, this idyllic upbringing in a lot of ways, but also capturing the unexpectedness, maybe, that, you know, people don't necessarily associate a childhood in Colorado being, you know, with, like, a Chinese mother and, you know, sure. those types of experiences. So
sure. I mean, that's such a in your face way to tell a story of, like, the past, is to pull up, like, an old recording of it, right? Where you're just like, by
yeah.
the way,
oh,
like,
yeah.
like, here it is. It happened.
Yeah. It's on the nose for sure.
Yeah. No, that's cool though. And I think that, again, for, like, effective storytelling or, like, trying to relate to people, those kinds of experience or those ways to, like, convey those stories are, I mean, there really isn't a better way than, like, showing your firsthand experience, right? Like, that's, to me at least, that's my thoughts on that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's been kind of a heavy topic actually. And, yeah. You know, it's interesting. The more I talk about it, the more that people sort of want to extrapolate certain things or tell certain messages or the things that other people, decide to latch onto. But
sure.
I think one thing that is undeniable is just an honest recounting of people's experiences. And I think that's, like, the best start mm-hmm. to have when it comes to talking about race. I think yeah. there's a lot of new ground that we as a society are starting to uncover. And it's kind of incredible that it took this long, but it's also incredible how far we've come in a short amount of time. And I really think BLM actually helped with that. So yeah,
for sure.
I think the place to start is just really being honest with, like, where we come from,
yeah.
the stories that we have to tell, and then, you know, what are the things we can do for future generations to tell better stories.
I am 8 years old. I have been studying piano for 2 years. I am going to play Sonatina by Friedrich Kuhle.
Is there a sense of catharsis maybe that you were looking to get out of this album, or were you more maybe trying to just start the conversation with it?
Yeah. It's an interesting question. I think for me, I wanted it to be a conversation starter.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a little part of me that's like, I'm okay never talking about my childhood ever again after this album.
Yeah.
You know,
for sure.
Sometimes it is hard to relive things. And, I actually did some video work about this project in Colorado recently.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So there's some like future upcoming projects I'm working on. And it was a little challenging because there's sadness actually in my childhood. And there is some hardship. And there are also some things I forgot about where some stuff happened that really wasn't okay. And it was just, you know, it's something that I hope that like future generations would never have to deal with or experience or confront. So with that said, I do think it's important to just have these conversations. And I also really wanted this to be an opportunity for more Asian Americans to have these conversations amongst themselves and feel that they have license to talk about what it means to be American.
Totally.
If you're an Asian American. And I do think while things are changing in my lifetime, at least I've always experienced a sense of otherness, even though I do have white privilege because I have a white name, which comes from my white father. And there are some ways that I've experienced that, but there are other ways where, you know, just because of how I look, I'm always othered, especially in like a really predominantly white community. I think it's like, hey, let's just continue adding to the conversation. Let's continue figuring out what different iterations of the American identity looks like, and how can we sort of challenge our pre-existing conceptions of what American identity is, and how can we redefine that narrative? Yeah. And I think stuff like this, you know, that album cover was really powerful for me because it's a picture of my mom holding me as a baby when she had just kind of recently moved to the States. And my grandpa's in the picture with his horses. And that was really my upbringing, was like in the plains of Colorado, being with horses a lot. But then, you know, my mom is there and she also represents an American dream too. Mm-hmm. And she's lived it truly in many ways. So, you know, I think as this country is becoming really divisive right now, it's good to remember that the American identity comes in all shapes and forms, quite literally. And, there has to be a sense of acceptance. Otherwise we'll never really be able to reconcile all of the issues and differences that we have, unless if we just start talking about it in a really open and honest way.
Yeah. I completely agree. I'm glad you're feel comfortable like sharing your experience with this and continuing to have the conversation. I would love to hear maybe if you wanted to pick just like one or two tracks that like stuck out to you in the process of making the album, and like maybe just elaborate more on what they're about or what imagery you're trying to convey maybe.
Yeah. So I actually think Church and Guns is a really interesting one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I always kind of like to put together like contrasting ideas, you know, like church and guns. You wouldn't necessarily associate guns and church together, but yeah. I think maybe if you grew up in a conservative gun owning household like I did, it makes total sense. And I think that's something that there are actually a lot of Americans that would probably relate to that title. So for me, I didn't totally go outside of like what I would say would be like a tonal comfort zone for the whole album, except for this piece. It's sourced from a Ravel sonatine, which is an homage to Haydn. And it's like, I kind of identified these like really open chordal structures that sounded very much like a hymnal. And I grew up going to church. I played a lot of church music. I played for churches. And there's just this really beautiful, like, I guess sincerity to the music that I find in church hymnals. I think hymnals are actually quite beautiful. But then I just kind of also wanted to disrupt it a bit. And that's where I really kind of went for it with a lot of dissonance in the section. And I do think gun rights is a huge issue in this country. It's very complicated. I think it's horrific, obviously. You know, and yet I see both sides because I grew up with a lot of guns, like quite honestly, and I grew up shooting guns, and I grew up with a sense of it's strange to talk about, but it's the truth. I was raised to respect weapons as killing machines, and I'm not saying that this works for every household that has guns, but it was very clear that we were to never touch guns ever because, you know, they killed people. And I understand that there are households that do have guns that maybe are very, you know, strict and enforce gun safety. With that said, I personally do not believe that we should have the right to bear arms and fully automatic weapons. And I think, it's a lot more complicated than that. I think there's mental health issues in this country. I think, there's a lot of miseducation and, just a general disrespect or a lack of respect, I guess, for human life, I feel is happening with these mass shootings. And it's very scary that, you know, we live in a society that essentially just continues to allow this to happen. So I did want to address that with that song, Church and Guns.
I'm glad you're being real about it. It is. Yeah. It's very, I mean, obviously very topical, but also just like, I don't want to say a great way. It is an effective way to create a contrast in, you know, what a person's initial thoughts in seeing that title might be. And I mean, you, and this is your way of, I guess, to an extent, maybe reconciling with it or addressing it, you know, through your art and, you know, what it means to you and how you, you know, want to share that with other individuals.
It's kind of a touchy one. But something that I personally have actually really experienced.
Totally.
So Yeah,
for sure.
It's not something I feel like I can speak with on any authority from, like, maybe like a policy level.
Yeah.
As someone, as an American who grew up with guns and going to church, I do have a strong point of view on that. So
totally. Yeah, that's totally fair.
他使我躺卧在青草地上，领我在可安歇的水边。他使我的灵魂苏醒，为自己的名引导我走义路。我虽然行过死荫的幽谷，也不怕遭害。
Great. So that's a pretty heavy one. And I don't think that there's like a white topics necessarily on this album, but I do like this idea of the end of the album, kind of the name of it being after where you live now.
Yeah. Well, I kind of saw it as a little bit of a journey. There's a little bit of a chronological order that the songs, the tunes follow.
Mm-hmm.
I do kind of think of it as a song cycle, even though it's instrumental. Oh, cool. So,
yeah.
You know, really there's like a whole story that each of the piece kind of ladders into for a larger story. So
mm-hmm.
For me, you know, I think it's this idea of like, you know, when you're a kid, you don't really know what you're going to be when you grow up.
Yeah.
And you kind of don't know until you get there. And then you get there and you're like, well, this was it. You know, this was what...
Yeah.
What we were
sometimes you
for.
Still don't know when you're...
Yeah, right. It's just one big journey, you know?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
But I do feel like I found a sense of place. I did find a sense of home in New York that maybe I didn't really always feel when I was living in Colorado. Mm-hmm. So,
mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's also a nice full circle moment. A lot of my past projects have been about streets of New York or different chapters of the pandemic. That was the last project. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I go back in time and then I come back to the present and I'm looking forward to, you know, what's coming. So
yeah.
I did want to leave it on a more uplifting note, like, hey, you know, think you're okay.
But it's like, it's uplifting, but it's also like, again, it's like grounding. So it's like, by the way, I'm here now. I'm, you know, this is where I've arrived. And I'm just going to continue down a path and, I will probably tell you more about it later. Good. Yeah. So the album is released when?
Officially. It comes out May 5th, Friday, May 5th.
Cool. So this episode will have aired by then. So congratulations on your album release.
Thank you very much. Yes,
absolutely. Great. Do you have plans for performances or anything you want to let folks know about?
Yeah. Well, nothing is set in stone, but I do have plans to perform the album. I did some video content of my childhood neighborhood, so there's more content to look forward to. And then I'm also talking with a few folks about having discussions as part of a live performance. So I don't know what that looks like yet, but I'm really looking to engage the AAPI community.
Cool.
As part of this album and just sharing with the world in a way where people can just talk and share stories and, you know, just kind of further the conversation about changing the dialogue about what American looks like now in 2020.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I mean, again, I think that's super important.
Yeah. let's change. Let's make it happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Cool.
Yes. Good. Excellent indeed. I had just a blast actually talking with Angelica. Or I don't know. It's always lovely to have a candid conversation with folks about art that's so visceral and meaningful to the individual. And going into it, knowing what it was about, I didn't know how deep we were going to get, but I was, it was great. I had such a great time learning more about the background and everything that she put into this album. So, give her a follow on the socials and keep an eye out. Sounds like there's going to be some cool performances of this album and some of her other works. If you're in the New York area, keep your ear to the ground for it. As always, Relevant Tones is a product of Access Contemporary Music. Find out more at acmusic.org, and we'll catch you next time. Thank you so much.